In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Amen. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our reading the letters, Luisa's letters.
Okay. Letter number 126. Most Reverend Monsignor, I don't know how to thank you for your attention, for remembering the little servant of Jesus, and I don't know how to repay you. I can only pray that dear Jesus will make you live of divine will, because it alone can make us happy and can make us saints of his own sanctity. More so, since the only desire of Jesus is that we live in his will. Because if we live in it, he can give us whatever he wants. Jesus wants to display his love, but our will is small and he doesn't know where to put it. He wants to give us surprising graces, but our will is incapable of receiving them. This is why he wants to find in us his holy will, not only to give us what he wants, but to make of us his faithful images. So, whenever he finds us in his will, he makes feast and says, "Finally, I found a place where I can put up my own. My will know how to keep my graces, my love, and my own sanctity." Therefore, Holy Father, let us take to heart living in the divine will. It will keep us sheltered, protected from all dangers, and free from all evils. Oh, if everyone knew what it means to live in the divine will, they would compete and all evils would cease instantly. This is my wish for the new year, that you may live always in the divine will, and that Jesus may make of you a missionary of the divine will. Forgive me saying, maybe also inappropriate. I renew my thanks and leaving you in the sea of the divine volition, in the arms of Jesus, and under the mantle of the Queen of Heaven, I kiss your right hand and I implore on my knees your paternal blessing. The little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, January 10th, 1944. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. One of the things here that we see is the desire of our Lord Jesus, his desire, his only desire is that we may live in his will. We have to remember that all this gift that we received through the writings of Luisa Picaretta, what the Lord is revealing to us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta, through the Book of Heaven, is the restoration basically of the gift that we lost in the fall. And right after the fall, now the purpose that for everything to happen is the restoration of the gift that we lost. So, yes, when our Lord In the fullness of time, when our Lord became flesh, the whole purpose for him to become flesh was for the restoration of the gift that we lost. And now that he has accomplished our reconciliation with God the Father, the whole purpose continues to be the restoration of the gift. So in a way, we are moving towards the completion, towards the closing of that cycle that has to be closed. That we came from the hands of God, we fall, we were redeemed, we have been redeemed. Our Lord Jesus is resurrected. Now we are living basically in the time of the Our Fathers. The Our Father prayer is being fulfilled in our hearing every day as we read the Book of Heaven, Thy will be done on earth. So now we have to look really at the first line of the Our Fathers, recognizing that, yes, we have a Heavenly Father who is in heaven, and that His name has to be glorified in everything we do. Hallowed be your name. We can go in other translations. For example, in the Spanish translation, hallowed translate as may your name be sanctified, santificado. Is the same in Latin, sanctificetum nomen tuum. Right? May your name be sanctified, may your name be glorified. So now we know that everything that our Lord Jesus did had a purpose to glorify God the Father, to glorify God, to glorify the Blessed Trinity through his humanity, and in a way that was eternal, in a way that was perfect, in order for the Blessed Trinity to receive justice, to receive right praise and glory. So the will of God operating through the humanity of our Lord Jesus. And the purpose was, yes, to glorify God the Father, and then the restoration of the gift that we lost through Adam and Eve. And as he left the Our Father prayer, so we encountered that the purpose of what we should be doing is to see that the name of God be glorified in everything we do. And then that also that through everything we do, may it become a constant voice, a constant magnet that says, may your kingdom come. Which kingdom? The kingdom of the divine will reign in our hearts, the kingdom of the will of God operating in the soul of man, because that's how everything was at the beginning. And the church prays for this, and we have been praying over and over, and we don't understand. It kind of reminds me of the gospel of today. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord reminds in that parable, they have ears and they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. We pray, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. That's perfect. We want to give glory to the Blessed Trinity. And then we say, as it was in the beginning. And we have to understand that in the beginning was in the union with God, in perfect union. So every single heartbeat of Adam and Eve, everything that they did, God received glory automatically, was glorified. And then he's in return, he acquired that capacity basically for God. The creature was acquiring a divine capacity, we can say. Why a divine capacity? Because the creature was being fed, filled with God Himself. The creature was not being filled with Himself. Adam was not being filled with Himself before the fall. He was being filled with God, with beauty, knowledge, understanding, science, everything. He was growing in that understanding. So now that we are living in this time, basically, that the Our Father is being fulfilled in our own hearing. We go back to the idea that the church has been praying As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be forever. So when we say as it was, we are, it's implied that we want to say that we desire to give glory, praise, and adoration to the Blessed Trinity as in the very beginning. So we have to learn how it was in the very beginning, so that it can be now and forever. And this is the way that it was in the beginning, in total union with God. That's why in that state, Adam and Eve, they acquire the capacity to have every moment for God to receive something new, something new, something new, something more beautiful than the others. I want just to connect that idea with a passage from the Book of Heaven that I found. I don't know if I shared it with you last time or not, but if I did, I'm going to share it again. The passage, I will give you the reference later. Let me see, it's from. I will give you the reference later. Now, this is what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta about this capacity that we encounter, and also like with every truth that we encounter, and now specifically about the divine will, this is what will happen. Because Luisa Picaretta says, she says here that this is what our Lord Jesus, and because if we live in this way, then we will have the capacity to possess everything. Basically, our Lord Jesus is able to give us everything he wants. But now he says, but our will is so small, and he does not know where to put it. So our container is so small. So how are we going to enlarge that container? You have to understand that every truth, every divine truth we encounter through the Book of Heaven, every knowledge we acquire is a new light also that will produce a different fruit, a different kind of tree. Just imagine like maybe our soul is like a garden, and then every new divine truth, knowledge that we encounter through the Book of Heaven is a new seed that will blossom into a different flower, one more beautiful than the other, never seen before. And so when our Lord Jesus says in this passage, he says, you must know, he tells Luisa Picaretta, you must know that every truth that is manifested to us, I mean, I translate it as to us, every knowledge that we acquire about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of divine will, is a divine seed that by communicating itself to our souls produces always something new, because God is always something new, because God is infinite and can never be exhausted. This seed will produce new life of holiness, new love, new beauty, new joy, new peace, new happiness. So if the seeds, they are producing something, they are growing in, it means also that the soul is expanding. The divine truths are so many divine properties that the soul acquires. Whenever the soul is prepared to receive the divine truths and make them his own or her own, we make them our own, the more seeds, right, the divine truths that the soul acquires through loving God, through prayer, and by attaining new knowledge of God, the more the degrees of divine goodness the soul acquires. So again, this idea of growing in also in a degree, in degrees and expansion, so much greater will be our glory, the joy and the happiness of every divine seed that we receive. So The degree of glory, joy, happiness of the blessed in heaven is proportional to how much they love and knew God here on earth. This is very important, that the degree of those in heaven is proportional to how much they knew, specifically about the divine will here now. Also, by how much we live this gift. So, the idea that our happiness in heaven will depend on how much we know, how much we live this gift here, how much is expanded in our souls. So, when Luisa Picaretta says that our Lord Jesus wants this gift more than anything else because he wants to deposit in us. And only by living in this will can the soul advance so much. And maybe we are not going to see it, and for sure we are not going to see it because we don't see our soul expanding. But that's something that we really are going to one day be able to see it. And I just want also to illuminate this idea through the vision of Father Anibal de Francia. Perhaps you remember that vision in volume 22. I will give you the reference later also. But this is what Father, I just want to remind you what Father Anibal said as he appeared to Luisa after he passed. What beautiful surprises I have found. I could hardly believe what I saw. Even though I thought I had done something good by meditating the hours of the Passion, the surprises I found were so marvelous, enchanting, and of a beauty never before seen. All the words concerning the Passion of our Lord have been transformed into light, each more beautiful than the others and the next, all interwoven together, and these lights communicate and they continue to grow. So this idea of growing in. But now here we see that it seems to me that those who possess this gift, or those who know this gift on this side, they will continue to grow over there. At least this is what the idea conveys. Because they possess the same gift that the Blessed Mother, and the Blessed Mother continues to grow. And these lights continue to grow just as the creatures pray the hours of the Passion. Thus, more lights are added to the first ones. So the idea also that since the divine will is one, whenever we pray the hours of the Passion here, those who already pass and they pray with these hours, they will receive even more light. But what surprised me the most were the few sayings about the Passion of our Lord and the Kingdom of Heaven that I published. Every statement changed into a sand and investing all the lights. With the rays, these suns produce such beautiful wonders that one remains enraptured, enchanted. You cannot imagine how delighted I was to see myself surrounded by these lights and these suns. I was happy, and I thank my Supreme Good, the Father, who had given me the opportunity and the grace to do so. So, hopefully that clarifies a little bit what Luisa Picaretta is saying here, and the idea that, yes, this is what our Lord wants. Why? Because without this gift, he cannot really give himself, God cannot give himself to us in the way he wants us to possess him. We will always, as long as we continue to live in only by the human will, united only with our human will and operating only With our human will, we will have always a very small capacity for God. We will not acquire the capacity for heaven itself, but in this way of living in the divine, we are preparing ourselves really for eternity, right? So if in heaven God, the will of God reigns completely, then this is what it happens in the soul that unites and continues to grow in this way, in union with the divine will. One of the things also that we have to understand that the spiritual growth happens whenever we are in the state of grace. Where, because just look at this. During winter, nothing grows. Everything is dead, basically. It's dark. So take that image, and when our soul is in darkness, is in sin, is not in the state of grace. What is grace? Look at grace. We know that grace is a gift from the Holy Spirit. We know that grace comes from God. It's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. All the way in 1997, the paragraphs 1997, 1999, 2000, 2003, all of them they talk about what grace and sanctifying grace is. And just if you want to understand grace is, imagine that the grace is something like light that comes, that power that gives you strength, that fills the soul with light. But also, in the same way that gives light and strength to the soul, it also creates kind of like a disposition, like a good magnet that keeps you in that state of doing good, in that disposition, in that perfect disposition to do good always, always, always. And the Holy Spirit operating through that grace. Leads us into a perfect union with the Blessed Trinity. Catechism of the Catholic Church 260, that's our ultimate end, to enjoy perfect union with the Blessed Trinity, but beginning here. Then, when we are in the state of grace, then the divine will also is able to we can say to grow so much faster in us, to operate more perfectly. The Holy Spirit is able to render our souls more beautiful, and we will acquire that capacity for God at every moment, and also the dispositions are there. We remain open. So this gift that God is giving to all of us is available for everybody, but again, we need to create the dispositions, and that hard work corresponds to all of us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, by coming to know the gift of the divine will, by being aware that this is what our Lord wants us. And in this way, he will be able to make of us basically copies of himself. We will be another Jesus. So the divine will, yes, the divine will, when finds a place where to operate. Divine will knows how to keep many graces and to produce new sanctity and to produce wonders in those who allow themselves to be possessed by the divine will. So let us go to the next passage, and I mean the next letter.
Letter number 127. My good daughter in the divine volition, pluck up courage. Dear Jesus will not leave you alone. It is sufferings that wound his heart and draw him with an irresistible force to be together with the creature, to give her the merit of his own pains, and to adorn her with divine marks, so as to make her similar to himself. His love makes feast when he finds us resigned, because he can give us the shape he wants, to embellish us as he wants. Therefore, I recommend to you, let Jesus find you in his most holy will, and he will make a prodigy of your soul. And the more you feel alone, the more you will feel close to Jesus. He will give you his strength and his graces, and with your pains, he will form the most refulgent suns, the most precious pearls. Pray for me, and leaving you in the divine volition to give work to Jesus and to make yourself a saint, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So his love makes peace when he finds us resigned because he can give us the shape he wants. What is the shape that he wants to give us? Who is the one who is doing all the work now? Who is in charge of this gift to be accomplished is the Holy Spirit. And the shape that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, or the divine will through the Holy Spirit, is exactly to become another Jesus. In the way that our Lord Jesus operated in his humanity, the divine will operated in his humanity. And this is the miracle of miracles. That he will give us everything that he is, all the graces, that even the merits of his own passion, his pains, they will turn, as we saw in Father Hannibal's vision. Luisa mentions that here. He will give you his strength, his graces, and with your pains, he will form the most refulgent suns, the most precious pearls. I think this idea appears in the Book of Heaven over and over. If we pay attention as we move in the higher volumes, when we read these passages from the Book of Heaven, especially after the volumes 22 and higher, 20. Nine and all of them, we encounter this same idea in a different way. So here is a good way also to connect. We have to connect also even the devotions. There is the wonderful devotion to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, who, by the way, this is the month of the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus. July is traditionally known as the month of the most sacred, the most precious blood of Jesus. So whenever we meditate in his precious blood, yes, we immerse ourselves. We know already the way. We immerse ourselves in the divine will. Now we have that desire to praise, to adore, to glorify God, to adore the precious blood of Jesus, to contemplate, to thank God for his son Jesus, and to thank our Lord Jesus for every single drop of blood that he shed for all of us. Because in every single blood, in every single drop of blood that he shed for us, we were there present. He knew in his divinity, he knew that it was for everybody. Everybody was present there in his mind. He saw each and every one of us, even those who will be lost, he saw. And he saw all of those who will come and to adore his precious blood. The same with the devotion of the Divine Mercy. We unite ourselves. One day we will see how much that produced in our souls, just as Father Hannibal saw with the rosary also. And we can continue with the with the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the novenas to the Holy Spirit. All of this, as we contemplate now and we see this, that now the purpose for us to do everything is because we want to fulfill the first line of the Our Father, Sanctificetur Nomen Tuum, in Latin, and in English, Hallowed be thy name, and may your name be glorified, adored, praised, sanctified in everything I do. And then also through everything I do, may it be for the kingdom to come, to descend, which is the second part of the lines of the Our Fathers, the third petition. And by having that awareness, that constant awareness that this is what our Lord Jesus wants, that if we are in the state of grace, this gift will take possession of us, it will take root in our hearts and our souls, and we will be able to produce much, or basically the divine will do it in us, to produce, to accomplish his work in us. God will accomplish his work in us. Today's first reading was exactly that his work will not return empty, void. So the Our Father has to be accomplished, and it's been accomplished in us every time we operate in the divine will. It will not return void. The Our Father has to be fulfilled, and now it's being fulfilled in us at every moment that we unite ourselves in that way. Now everything becomes a constant magnet that glorifies God, a constant magnet that calls the divine will, a constant magnet that it is for all the human race, because it has the same value as the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. And the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus was accomplished or was done for all the human race. It was not only for the people of his time, although not only for the people in the Old Testament, not only for the Jewish people, but for all the human race. So it's implying there already when we have that intention. We don't even have to mention it, but if you want to mention it, that's fine, but it's not a required. You just have to know that it's in there, it's contained in there, as long as you understand how this gift operates. Our Lord Jesus was not walking around all the time saying, for all the creatures past, present, and future. The Blessed Mother was never going around saying, for all creatures past, present, and future. I'm doing this fire, I'm making this bread for all the creatures past, present, and future. It is implied she was aware that by being united, she was calling also this gift. And she's a beautiful image. We can see in the Blessed Mother also the transition, because the Blessed Mother, through her prayers, she made descend the Messiah. The Messiah descend, our Lord Jesus, the Redeemer, descend. She hastened the coming of the Messiah through her prayers. And also she knew that she possessed this gift, and now she also, through her prayers, we can say that is hastening this gift. And she wants all her children. Our Lord himself, by praying this, we can say that he hastened it also. But the Blessed Mother needs all her children, that's us, to receive this gift, to really become true children of the Blessed Mother, and for her to fulfill her maternity. And just as the people in the Old Testament, they were praying for the Messiah, begging God the Father, begging God to send the Messiah, now we are begging God the Father to let his will descend and to restore us to where we were originally. Now, through participation, is being restored in a way in baptism. It's been accomplished on the cross. Our Lord Jesus accomplished the reconciliation. He opened the door for us. He gave us access through baptism. We have access to the divine life again to begin anew. That's why in baptism, all your sins are forgiven. All the sins are forgiven. All of them. And you begin anew. Now the divine life is implanted in the soul and through the sacrament of confirmation. And then we are called now to grow in that unity now through participation, through the knowledge of this gift, and through our will, willingly making an act of faith and to unite our will to this to his divine will, which is the will of the Blessed Trinity, that we our linked is the humanity of our Lord Jesus. It's not the humanity of Luisa Picarreta. No, Luisa is only the instrument. Luisa is only the instrument. Really, the link for us is the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Luisa is an example for us. This is the teaching of the church. The saints, even though Luisa is not a saint yet, we hope one day she will be, but the example of the saints, they give us example. With their example, they give us courage. And through their prayers, they help us, they aid us through heaven. So it is not the martyrdom of Peter and Paul who redeem us, right? It is the martyrdom of Christ. It is the crucifixion of Christ that accomplish our reconciliation. Now, their martyrdom united with the martyrdom of our Lord Jesus, it has tremendous grace for the church, right? But it is the martyrdom that accomplish our reconciliation is the martyrdom of Christ, our Lord. So with Luisa Picarreta, she's the example of how one who is born in original sin is able to enter into this way of living. But for us, the link is the humanity of our Lord Jesus, to learn how that operated in all of us. I mean, in him, how the divine will was operating in his humanity. So, in a way, also, we have to be able to see the God operating in that humanity of our Lord Jesus. So, and through this gift is a way to see it. Let's move on on the next letter.
Letter number 128. Most Reverend Father, thank you for your promise to pray for me. I like very much your way of praying for me. May the Lord answer you. And I promise to enclose you in the holy will of God, that your acts may be animated by divine sanctity, by his infinite love, and by his incomparable light and beauty. Holy Father, one who lives in the divine will can do everything, does everything, brings everyone to God, and becomes the bearer of God to all. Even more, one can say that God does nothing without the creature. He feels her inseparable from himself and says to her, "My will is yours. Take whatever you want. While you live on earth, keep your conquering act, and I will anxiously await the new joys and the new conquests you will give me." Therefore, may the divine will be everything for us. May it be our refuge, our life, our all. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you in the divine volition to make yourself a great saint. I kiss your right hand. Your servant, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, May 26, 1944. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Now, this idea that Also, that to be united with our Lord Jesus always, this idea of receiving new divine sanctity when our acts are animated by the divine will, since the divine will is, we can say, sanctity itself. All of these attributes that Luisa Picaretta mentions here in this letter, that is beauty and light. God is beauty itself, is light itself, is sanctity itself, is love itself. When Luisa Picaretta says, "One who lives in the divine will can do everything, does everything, brings everyone to God, and becomes the bearer of God." Yes, we become the bearer of the divine life in us in every single act. But yes, to clarify, because this can be a little bit confusing, or one can argue that Luisa Picaretta is saying something contrary to the teaching of the church or the gospel, because she says one who lives in the divine will can do everything. And then we hear, for example, when our Lord Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And we encounter here that Luisa Picaretta is writing that one who lives in the divine will is able to do everything. But we have to notice here that she's not saying apart. We already know that that the very living in the divine will implies to be united with his will. That in order to be united with his will, we have to make our prevenient act, whatever in whatever way you do it. That's another way that I want to comment here, because many people have created many different ways of praying or doing the prevenient act. And while they are helpful at the beginning, also, one must not be always attached and to say, "Well, you didn't pray all this page." That is the prevenient act, then you are not united in the divine will. Because that's not something that Luisa Picaretta did either. And that's not something that we can really find in the Book of Heaven. In the writings of Luisa Picaretta, you move also in the higher volumes, you see that she will make many different ways of uniting herself to the divine will. So just to point you always back to that reference of volume 14 is learn to do your prevenient act, and it can be something very simple, even something that the church has been teaching already, you know, the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You can use that, and you just have to have the intention that you're united with the will of God. That is the beautiful prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. "I give you my will, I surrender to you." I forgot the name of that prayer, but you can find it. So the idea, what I want to point out or want to make clear, is that when Luisa Picaretta says here that one can do everything, right? This implies that yes, but in union with God, basically. So it makes perfect sense also when the Lord Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." So basically, with our human will, we can do nothing, because even if we do good things and pious things, the Lord says they will always be imperfect, incomplete, and disorders. That's the way we can see it, that we operating with our human will, then everything will be in perfect disorder, incomplete. And when united with the divine will, we can do everything, operating with our human will, compared to what we can do with the divine will, in union with the divine will, is nothing. So there is no contradiction with the gospel. But I just wanted to point out that, because one may think or one may argue that Luisa Picaretta is wrong here. So yes, one who lives in divine will can do everything, brings everyone to God, and becomes the bearer of God to all. Why to all? Do I have to say for all the past, present, and future in everything I say, I do? No, because remember, it acquires the same value of the acts of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that our Lord Jesus Christ did was for all the human race. So that's the idea. And I believe this is something also that causes a little bit of confusion sometimes with the priest and even with the bishops, that you have some people that they just go around saying past, present, future, past, present, and future, past, present, and future, and they don't understand it. And then it becomes a little bit like, strange, and then we are classified as odd people, strange people, and So, yes, the more we learned about the gift, the more we entered into the knowledge of the divine will, you just have to be aware of all those things, that we become the bearer of God to all. Why? Because if the divine will, which is the will of the Blessed Trinity operating in us, right, is God operating through the human will, and everything that he does, it will benefit everybody according to their capacity. This is important, according always to their capacity. That's why it's important to stay close to the sacraments, to the sacrament of confession, to the sacrament of the Eucharist, to adoration. See? And to be in the state of grace, because remember, spiritual growth happens when we are in the state of grace. So that's what I wanted to clarify in relation with the gospel. So apart from God, we can do nothing. We know that, but in union with the divine, we can do everything. We can bring God to all the human race, and they will benefit according to their own capacity. When we surrender completely to God's will, we know that God's graces, right, flow through everybody who has that openness, that disposition, and the ordinary actions of our life that we have mentioned over and over here, such as prayer, work, suffering, meditating the hours of the Passion, being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, everything, the simple heartbeat, the simple blinking of the eye, the simple movement, just as being, just being, becomes a prayer. And not only a prayer, but this takes on a different level, because then we are able to enter into the eternal. Everything we do acquires, so it's magnified. Remember how the Blessed Mother says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." So everything is being magnified. You take a magnet, a magnifier, you see, like it becomes bigger. So it enters into the eternal, is being magnified, we can say, to the eternal. It becomes perfect. It acquires an eternal value. Why? Because then our acts are united with God's very life, basically, with the very life of our Lord Jesus. And in this way, we can do everything with Him. I believe it's in the Book of Heaven when the Lord says to Luisa Picaretta also that. She's our Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, "Be magnanimous and take my blood, Give it to everybody. With my will in your hands, you can do everything you want. Basically give God to everybody. Give my blood to everybody. So we become really instruments of God also in that way. We become the instruments of God when we are united in that way in the will of God, and we are aware of all of that. Let me see, how is the next letter? Maybe we can jump to the next letter for today, and then we will leave it there. It's a short one.
Yes. Letter number 129. My good daughter in the divine volition, I am sorry for your painful state, but you must know that the divine will has its plans and works to do. So if you think that the divine will is working you, your tears and anguish will cease. You will have a divine strength in your power, and everything will seem sweet and bearable. Think that your pains serve Jesus and that he keeps them in his hands as precious coins with which to save souls. Abandon yourself to the divine will. Let its divine life rise again in all your sufferings. I leave with you all your pains in the divine volition. Pray for me. And sending you my regards with the love of the fiat, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Talking about the divine will, abandon yourself in the divine will. Let this divine life rise again in all your sufferings. Of course, I hope. Let me see. I think she's writing, or I believe this person is suffering some kind of pain, isn't the letters. I'm sorry for your painful state. We don't know what kind of pain or what kind of situation she has. But she's referring specifically here to the sufferings. But if you look into the whole picture of the gift of the divine will, you see that holiness, first of all, let's go back a little bit. The universal call of holiness is that everybody, we are all called to be saints, meaning to live the virtues in a heroic way. That's the universal call of holiness. Everybody is called to holiness in the vocation that our Lord Jesus has given us, the vocation that God gives us. But in this way, you look at different you look at different communities. The Franciscans, they try to live that call of holiness through their way of life. The Benedictines, the Carmelites, the Jesuits, and all of them, in a very specific way, they have to follow that. Well, they try to follow that call of holiness, but it's the universal call of holiness. Everybody is called to be holy. We are all called to be holy. But here you see, in this way of living in the divine will, holiness is not, this way of living is not really doing bigger things, or only certain things, or only like caring only for the poor, or only praying in the convent, or only working here and there, right? This way of holiness is really universal, also. This way of holiness is really Catholic, because Catholic is universal for everybody. So in that way, the divine will is Catholic. It's universal. Why? Because here is not in one specific way. It's not about doing bigger things or big extraordinary things, but it is allowing God to operate in our acts. In this specific case, Luisa Picaretta is saying, abandon yourself in the divine will, your sufferings, your tears, all your sufferings. Right? But if we put it in a universal way, we can say, abandon yourself in the divine will and allow the divine will to be in every single act that you do, in every single event, whether it is joyful, painful, an act of thanksgiving, any event of our life, anything that is not sinful can be united. Through that way of living, then we fulfill this way of living in the divine will. Because again, it's not about doing extraordinary things. It's just changing the intention that we don't want to operate with our human will, that we want the divine will to reign in us, that now I'm not doing this for my own good, but first of all, to fulfill the first line of the Our Father, Sanctificetur nomen tuum, hallowed be thy name, and then for the kingdom to come. And in that, I know that if that happens, everybody will be benefit because it acquires the same value of our Lord Jesus, of all my brothers and sisters will be benefited from Adam to the last, even those who are not here yet. And I don't even have to vocalize it. It is implied. It is there. It is there. So basically, we become the last one. See? First of all, Sanctificetur nomen tuum. May your name be glorified. Then, for the kingdom to come, for the good of all the human race, and finally, for my own sanctification. In that way, also, Sacred Scripture becomes, is fulfilling us. The last one shall be first. Because those who live in this way, those who made themselves little, we are not praying anymore for us only. We become the last one. The first priority is God. The second priority is the kingdom. The third priority is the good for all the human race. And we become the last for our own sanctification. But as we saw in the vision of Saint Aníbal de Francia, that will put us in the first place. And that's the way to climb the spiritual ladder in this way of living in the divine will. So, yes, we must become little, empty ourselves, and let the kingdom descend in our hearts and our souls, so that the Our Father may be fulfilled in all of us, which is basically what the Book of Heaven is. So let us finish with this today, this passage. Let me just give you the passage for Father Aníbal's. Is volume 22, June 17, 1927. That's the passage for the one that I gave you for Father Aníbal, and the other one that I read to you today is from, let me see. The one that is from June 12, 1938. And I believe his volume 36, June 12, 1938. Yeah. So those are the passages that we read tonight, and I encourage you to go and look at those with more detail and to try to see all this in relation with the big picture also of living in the divine will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Yeah.